I'm Andrew, and she's Rob. Rob.
And tell us a bit about your bike. You've got a beautiful looking tandem here.
Oh, yes. Well, when Robbie and I first met about 40 years ago, we rode little motorbikes. I met her at a motorbike rally, and we rode our tiny motorbikes Pillion for years. Well, registration being what it is, and having children, we had to give up on that. Just couldn't justify the money. When I saw the tandems on the GV 2 years ago, I thought, now that's right for us. We can go together, just like we always used to, only we don't have any registration to pay, and we get fit at the same time.
Was it a big job to sell it to you, Rob?
It was initially. It was very scary on the back. You've got no brakes or any steering or anything. You've got to really trust the driver. And it was purchased in Melbourne with all the traffic, which I'm not used to because I'm a country person. So it was really hairy at first. But once you get over that and you trust your driver, that's the key thing. You've got to trust that driver. Then it's fine.
Now, the role's pretty set then. Do you ever swap around and, you know, do you ever go on the back, Andrew?
We have tried different ends when we first got it, but because it takes time to get the bike set up to exactly the right heights and spacings, once we've got the bike set up, it's not worth changing positions. It took us, a few months, different seats, changing to handlebars, until we were exactly comfortable on it.
Right, yeah. Now, I've noticed a few other tandems, obviously, on the riders. I'm sure they're over a year. Some of them I've noticed the riders don't seem to be riding in sync. That doesn't seem to be the case with your bike, though.
No.
Most of them keep the pedals together. Some people have suggested if you put the pedals out of sync, you get more even pedalling instead of jerk, jerk, jerk as you go along. Get a slightly more even pedal. But it doesn't seem to be enough of an issue except at very low speeds. So I haven't even been tempted to try it.
Right. Now, as the back person, then, you're pretty much the powerhouse, are you, Rob?
Oh, yes, I'm the powerhouse. People say the back person doesn't work, but that's not true. I'm the turbocharger. I just kick in when I'm needed.
Do you ever do any backseat driving? Do you ever say, come on, change gears?
All the time. Come on, pass this nitty book, you know. Go, go. I'm always after him to go, go, go.
Do you just have selective deafness in those cases, Andrew?
Well, sometimes. Basically, to do the tandem well, it must be a team effort. So although technically I'm the captain and I make decisions, obviously it's got to be the pair of us together or it doesn't work. If she's feeling tired, there's not much point asking for more power to go up a hill. Or if I'm feeling tired, there's no point saying, oh, pass this guy, because it's not going to happen, is it? So we have to agree amongst ourselves what we need to do. That means the only time we do run into troubles is where we don't have time. A car suddenly comes from the right. We've got to make a decision, but we don't have time to decide amongst ourselves what to do. That's the only time we have a few problems.
Can you also tell when you're riding who's putting in more effort? Can you tell if one of you slacks off?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
You definitely. And I've got heart rate monitor on him. So if he's overworking, I can say, back off. Your heart rate's too high. And I've got a heart rate monitor for me. So he can ask what my heart rate's doing to see if I'm slacking off.
This is incredibly complex, isn't it?
It is, but it's not as bad as it seems. This is all part of getting used to each other. When we first had the tandem, I didn't want to do less than my share. Robbie didn't want to do less than her share. So we found ourselves running along the road at 40 kilometres an hour, both exhausted, making sure we at least did our part. And so we got the heart rate monitors to ensure that we didn't overdo it, just to bring it back to a reasonable level. If we get too carried away, back off a bit.
I take it this isn't your first Great Victorian bike ride?
No, it's not. We did it on the tandem last year, and that was through Halls Gap and through the...
Grampians?
Yeah, through all the Grampians and the Lakes District north of Colac. That was funny to call it the Lakes District.
Because, nice and dry?
Well, put it this way, we got sandblasted. I did see some water in Lake Corangamite about 30 kilometres on the horizon, but the rest of the time there were dust bowls and sand bowls. It's looking much better this year. You must have had a fair bit more rain.
How are you finding the ride this year then?
I'm enjoying it. Obviously the rain is making things a little different. Every year there's a few things to think about that have changed, but no, I'm thoroughly enjoying the ride. I'm looking forward to the Great Ocean Road and seeing the waves crashing in against the cliffs. I think it's going to be a blast. They've got more riders on the ride this year because everybody wants to do the Great Ocean Road, but so far the organisation has been sufficiently good that they've been coping with the numbers and I haven't actually really been aware there's more than the last couple.
What about for you, Rob?
Oh, it's been good. We come from northern Victoria where it's hot and flat and it never rains. So we have experienced hills and getting cold and wet, which is new for us.
So at least where you are sounds like perfect bike riding country, is it?
Oh, no, 40 degrees. You don't want to be on a bike in 40 degrees. The bitumen gets so hot, it just sort of comes up and hits you in the face. Or it melts under your wheels as you go. People don't understand how bad the heat really is. It's definitely, I'd rather ride in pouring rain than in 40 degrees.
But it is still perfect bike riding country, except for the weather. If you get in the summer, get up early and ride early, say come in by no later than 11, and you have flat roads, they're bitumen, you can go large distances without a lot of effort. So it's great for riding the bike as just flat country. It's only the heat you do have to worry about.
But it gets boring. I mean, hills are great fun because you, at least when you go up, you've got down. Whereas where we are, because it's flat, there's these great winds and you're working into a headwind for K after K after K. And no, I love these hills.
That must be one good thing about being on the back, though. You must never, ever get a headwind.
No, it doesn't work that way. Last year, I had bleeding lips from one of the... where they sandblasted me.
Right.
I came in with a really red face and so did half the camp. Because of the sand and the wind in your face. So he wasn't much use for that.
You also have a very impressive beard, I have to say, Andrew. How does that go when you're riding your bike?
It's not a problem. It does tend to blow around both sides of me unless we have a crosswind. So it doesn't get in the road when I'm riding the bike, really. I just like the beard. And people notice it. They don't see my face, but they know, oh, that was the one with the beard.
Right.
So they recognise me at dinner time, even if they can't see my face when I'm riding the bike. You can have the problem of people, they've got their sunglasses on, their helmet on. I could have been talking to them for half an hour. Then at dinner time, this stranger comes up to me and says, hi. And I think, who on earth are they?
Yeah.
At least they don't have the same problem.
They know you.